Appreciate Brother Clanton's song selection this morning. The last song that we sang, there was a line in it. It said, "Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way unto heaven." It's a great segue into the story I want us to think about this morning in Matthew, the 9th chapter, also paralleled in Mark chapter 2. With Jesus' interaction with the Jewish world, the world he was born into, and the world he grew up in, and the world he lived in, and the people that he interacted with. Matthew tells us the story in this way. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the disciples saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Many times I think these stories in the Gospels are just small units that teach the gospel. They expand and can go beyond that. We could go back and look at the healing story of the paralytic just before this one, or the two men with demons, or how Jesus controls the seas in the preceding stories in Matthew. And of course, I think they all work together, and they are thematic, and they flow together. But we can also just pull this one section out, and in this one little story with Jesus eating with the sinners is a small portrait of the gospel itself. Where he takes his time and he sits down with people in the world who others have no interest in. Those who are outcasts. Those who are looked down upon by the established community. But to Jesus, these people are important. And in this story, we see what Jesus' love really looks like. We see God's grace in action. We see how God loves his creation. We see the intent of Jesus' mission. And when he came to earth and he came in the form of mankind and he humbled himself for the very point and the very reason of offering reconciliation between God and man, between those who are lost, those who are sinners, who now be joined back to God through this offering of his grace. What we see is that Jesus cared about people. He didn't care so much about power or about wealth or about status or any of the other things that mattered in his society, about honor. What he really cared about was saving people's souls. And so when he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He came preaching the good news. And when I read a story like I've read just here in Matthew chapter 9 and following, what this is good news. In some senses, we can see ourselves maybe on both sides of the story, and that's what I want us to think about a little bit this morning. But hopefully, we can see ourselves sitting there at the table with Jesus, being the sinner, being the one who is defiled, who has not done the will of God, and yet Jesus himself comes and he sits down and reclines with us, and he cares enough about us to commune with us. In the figurative sense, that is certainly the case. We've just communed together in the remembrance of Jesus' death for the sins of all humanity. And I want us to take a few lessons from this story about his dinner with some sinners that I think can help us as we think about our relationship to God and also our relationship with those who are around us. The first thing I see in this story with Jesus, as he's going through the Bible lands, interacting with various people. And we come to this story where now he's going to sit down, and he's going to dine with Matthew. And it is interesting to me, and it probably is to you if you've noticed it, that here we have Matthew writing this account of Jesus' encounter with him. Just think about that for a moment, that Matthew's now recording Jesus calling him and what this situation was like, that he's a tax collector. He's the kind of person that most of Jewish society would look down upon. And yet Jesus comes into contact with him and he says, Matthew, follow me. And when he does, he takes him into his home. And it's not just Matthew that follows him, but many tax collectors and sinners, Mark tells us in his account. And because of Jewish sensitivity, especially the Pharisees, you can understand why they might be upset about this. They look and then they see Jesus and they know kind of who he is a little bit now with his disciples. And they're thinking, why would he sit down with these people? With the tax collectors, those who are with Rome and who are taking our money, with the sinners, with the prostitutes, and with these evil people who don't do the will of God. How is it that Jesus could sit down and even eat with these people? But what we see in the story of Jesus, unlike the story of the rulers, is that Jesus welcomed, he received the sinners. His arms were open to them. As he walked, whether it was in Galilee or in Judea, he was going about and he was offering himself to them. He was healing them of their sicknesses. He was making himself a part of their lives. He was taking interest in their lives. Even to the point that we see here, he is communing with them, which is an extremely important thing. You just think about, for just a minute, what it means when you go and eat with somebody. Many of you will do that this morning. After we finish up here, you'll go and you'll eat lunch somewhere, whether it's in your home or you go to a restaurant, and many of you will go eat with somebody. Some of you might just be your family, which still makes the point. People you are intimately close with, your immediate family. But the rest of you, you're going to go eat with friends, aren't you? People who are your close companions. Those are the ones who you're going to go sit down at a restaurant with or you're going to bring into your home. We commune with people that we love and that we care about. Jesus is making a statement here. By going into the home of Matthew and sitting down with tax collectors and sinners and eating with them, sharing a meal, sharing his life, showing interest in their lives. And it's interesting that in this setting is where he finds opportunity to call Matthew. Sometimes maybe it's good for us to slow down and think about the situation. We know that Matthew, Levi, he's a tax collector. And in some ways, I think we understand what's embedded in that concept. But when we slow down for just a minute and we think about especially this story and what's involved with what's happening here, and we think about the reality that Jesus now is stopping with Matthew, he's going to call this tax collector, this sinner, in the eyes of the rest of the world to be one of his inner circle. He sees this as an opportunity. He sees potential in Matthew. He sees value in the lives of not just Matthew, but those who are there in that home with him. He cares about these people, people whose society has deemed unworthy. He sees value in them. In a way that the Pharisees and their scribes, who are mentioned in Matthew and in Mark's account, simply do not. They're not going to go into the home of a tax collector or a sinner. They simply aren't going to do it. You might remember Peter when he goes to Cornelius. He tells Cornelius, it's unlawful for me to come into your home. And he's talking about Jewish custom, Jewish society, and the laws that they lived by, that they weren't going to go into a pagan's home. They weren't going to go into the home of somebody who was defiled. And this extended beyond just a Gentile like Cornelius. It also went to someone who was unclean, like a tax collector or a sinner, as they called them. They weren't going to go into that person's home. They weren't going to get close to that person. They didn't want to become unclean or defiled. Because the Pharisees and their scribes, they were interested, in a sense, in their concept of purity, of holiness. And I want us to come back to that idea at the end of our sermon this morning. But they're interested in what they perceive to be holiness and righteousness in this relationship with God, so much so that they're going to neglect their fellow man. And so when Jesus answers the lawyer's question about what the greatest command is, he says, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. But the second is like unto it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And it's there that they failed greatly. And it's there that they're failing in this story. They look out at these people and they say, why would Jesus sit down with a tax collector and a sinner? And much like the story of the blind man being healed in John 9, they don't realize what sinners they are. Just like the Pharisees there don't realize how blind they are. Jesus, and the way that he loves you and he loves me and he loved them, was willing to open his arms and open his heart to people that the rest of society had rejected. To people that maybe at first glance wouldn't seem like good prospects for sharing the gospel and building faith. What we know about Jesus is that he cared about souls. And the preceding story, when he's healing the paralytic, or before he had healed the paralytic, actually, the man is brought in. And what we might expect, and what maybe they would have expected from a healer, is that he would have told the man, you just get up and walk. But that's not how he does this, is it? The man comes in and he says to him, your sins are forgiven you. Because what mattered most to Jesus was not that the man could walk, not that the man was physically healed, but the man was cleansed, that the man was made right, that his sins were wiped away, because Jesus cares about souls. And even in the midst of that story, which just precedes what we read a few minutes ago, the Pharisees and the rulers, they're upset about Jesus doing this. They're upset about him saying this man's sins are forgiven, as they're often upset about things Jesus does, even when he heals people and makes them whole. They're upset about what Jesus is doing because they don't care about souls. That's what it comes down to. They care about themselves. And they see what Jesus is doing as infiltrating who they are and what they stand for, getting in the way of their own progress. And so even in Pilate, as he's seeing what's happening, he realizes the jealousy and the envy that's going into what they're doing with Jesus. And it's not Jesus that has the problem when he sits down with the tax collectors and sinners. It's the Pharisees and their scribes. It's the rulers of the people who have the problem when they're not willing to open their hearts and open their arms to people who desperately need good news. Did he not also die for these lost ones, the song asks? And let us point the way to heaven. The Pharisees saw themselves as being the height of righteousness. They stood against the Sadducees in many ways. The Sadducees were corrupt. They were not holy, many of them at least. They allowed Rome to rule things, and the Pharisees didn't like that, and so they took pride in their stance for the law and their stance for holiness, but they had done this to such an extent that now they were devaluing people, and they didn't see value in the tax collector. They didn't see value in the sinner. They held them out as unworthy. They pushed them out to the edges. They wanted nothing to do with them. They just stood in the way of their own purity and holiness. So when Jesus comes and he sits down and he eats with them, this offends the sensitivities of the Pharisees. They can't understand why a man would do such a thing. A man who claims to be the Son of God and claims to be holy. But they're missing the reality that what God had done for them since the beginning of their history was reach out to people who were unworthy and welcome those who were sinners and offer his grace to them. He welcomes us in our sin. There's no one, and you know this, there's no one that's here this morning who is here and in the presence of God and worshiping him and honoring him in perfection and wholeness. The reason we're here is because of our desperate need for forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's what's brought us together, because Christ died for our sins and we died with Christ. We gave ourselves to him, and so we come and we honor God for the grace that he has shown to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're not here because we're so great and we're so pious and holy and we're striving for holiness and we want to do the will of God. We're not here to profess how wonderful and great we are. We're here to profess how wonderful and great he is and what God has done for us. And while I think we can see ourselves at the table there with Jesus as the sinner, I believe sometimes we might need to see ourselves on the other side of this with the Pharisees. At times when maybe we look down on other people. And we look at someone and we can't imagine spending time with that person. Or we think that person would never listen to the gospel message. Or they would never want to do the right thing. Look at the life that they've lived and the things that they've done. They wouldn't receive Jesus. I don't think we go around and walk through our life saying those things consciously to ourselves. At least I would hope not. Since we do have the benefit of stories like this to shape us. But I'm thinking maybe more of the unconscious sort of decisions that we make. As we look and we make judgments and we perceive the things around us, and maybe the people that we would talk to about where we go to church, or the things that we do, or things in the Bible, or scriptural messages, and maybe we leave those things out with the person who we just don't seem to think would really care so much about Jesus or the good news. And if anything, what I see in a story like this is that it's precisely those kinds of people who sometimes care the very most, who really want to come to Jesus. In fact, Mark gives us that indication that many tax collectors and sinners were following him. Jesus comes and he brings this message of good news and they're flocking to him. And so if Jesus is going to welcome sinners, sinners like me and sinners like you, it stands to reason that he would want us to welcome sinners, to open our hearts and our lives and our arms, to bring people in who've made mistakes, who've taken the wrong path, who've made bad decisions, those who are lost and need finding. That's what Jesus' love looks like in this text. The unsuspecting ones, the ones on the margins, the ones that no one seems to care about. That's who Jesus sits down here. And not only does he sit down here and eat with these people, but he calls one of them to be an apostle. And he wrote this book that we're reading, telling the life of Jesus. But the story does not stop at him sitting down and eating with these people. We have the interaction with the Pharisees and with their scribes. And in the midst of this discussion, we have another revelation of what Jesus is doing here as he's going and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and he's talking to whoever comes across his path, including these tax collectors and sinners that he's sitting down with here. And when the Pharisees question this and they say, why is he sitting down? Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? He hears what they're saying, as Jesus often does. He knows their hearts and he knows their minds and he responds to the things that they're talking about to him, and he does this often. And here, this is what he says. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And at the end of the next verse, he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, Jesus is not interested in just going and finding sick people and keeping them in their sick condition. He's not out there to gather the sinners and the tax collectors and say, hey, I'm here for you. Go out and keep doing what you're doing. That's not what Jesus does. He pictures himself as a physician who's here to heal the sick. He has called them to repentance is really the idea he's getting here at the end of verse 13. He didn't come just to gather all the righteous up. He's going to do that next time he comes. He came here to call sinners to repentance. People just like the tax collectors, just like the sinners he's sitting down and eating this meal with right here, that the Pharisees can't imagine why he would do that. He has come here to call the lost and to point them to the way to heaven, to get them to the Father. That's the whole reason he came. That was the intent of his mission. That's why he came. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so he could declare the Father. That's why he was there. He's not there just to pal around with the Pharisees and with the scribes who seem to think that they're so righteous and holy. That's not the intent of Jesus' mission. No, he's come to seek and to save the lost, to find those who are in desperate need of Jesus. And in fact, it's these people themselves who are questioning him that need him as well. They don't see it. but they're not whole, they're not well, they're not righteous, at least in the way that they perceive. And so in sort of a twist in the story, in the account, he's there for them as well. But in their inability to see why Jesus is here sitting with the sinners, they fail to see what is needed in the lives of these people. It's not to be thrown aside and neglected. It is that they need help to change. And Jesus is not here just to enable them. He didn't come just to tell them to keep doing the things that they're doing and that everything's going to be okay and the grace of God is just going to cover it all for them. That's not the message of Jesus. No, he is the physician who has come to heal the sick. He wants to take me in my life and he wants to find the mistakes and he wants us to see that through scripture as we read and we learn about God and we learn about him. He wants us to filter it through his word and find out where our weaknesses are and change those things. And he wants us to encourage, uplift each other, to stir one another up to love and good works as we gather on a regular basis to reshape who we are, to recreate us through him. That's the wording of scripture. So he can take those who are lost, or as he talks about it here, take those who are sick, and they can be healed, they can be cured of their sickness. Jesus is sitting here, he's communing, he's eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, not to commend them in their life of sin and tell them everything's going to be okay. It is to develop a relationship with them, a one in which he can help reshape the direction of their life. He can call them to change. For the very reason that they're not righteous, but they are sinners. And then when we understand what the mission of Jesus was as he walked the earth, it makes perfect sense why he would sit down with those who are sinners, who desperately need to be found and reconciled to God. The most important thing in their life at this very moment, Jesus understood, was to leave this life of sin and to be made right with God. We aren't given specific details in this account in Matthew 9:9 through 13 or in Mark 2:13 and following about these individuals except for Matthew. But through reading the Gospels in general and his interactions with the various people he comes into contact with, I get the idea that they understand this need too. That as he encounters sinners, the people who are not considered righteous, that very often they realize where they are and they realize that they need something to change in their life. This is no surprise to them. And rather than pushing those people aside, as the Pharisees and the scribes did, the ones who considered themselves holier than everyone else, Jesus is reaching out to them to offer them a solution to their problem, to offer compassion and mercy, a willingness to change and help them change. And ultimately where this story goes is the reality that Jesus didn't die for us because we're perfect, but because we need healing. He didn't die for all of us in this room because we're so holy. But it's because we're like these people before Jesus found us. We're like these people sitting at the table eating with him. They were lost. We were sinners. We had a broken relationship with God. And Jesus loves in this way that he cares about souls. It made him drastically different than the Pharisees and the scribes, who in trying to keep their own holiness up, decided they couldn't rub shoulders with the lowly, with the tax collector, with the sinner. But Jesus knew that what they desperately needed was someone to call them to repentance. And as he was sent from the glory of heaven to come to be the image of the invisible God, to reveal the divine quality, what we see in what Jesus does and what we see in how he loves is that he cares about the souls of all people. Whether it's the Pharisee that he's trying to change through his rebuke, or it's the sinner, the tax collector that he's sitting down with, eating a meal with, trying to convince that he needs to change his life and turn to God. Jesus cares about my soul when he cares about your soul. And what he wants are people who are going to follow him. And it doesn't matter so much where those people have come from. We have people in this room this morning who come from all kinds of backgrounds. I'm sure we have people here who have done things that they would hate for anyone to know about. We probably have people here who've grown up in good families, in good homes, and maybe they can't think of terrible things they've done. They know they've sinned, but they've lived a pretty good life. We have people all through the spectrum, but you know what? It doesn't really matter where we are on that spectrum. What really matters and what matters to Jesus is that we follow him. And when he turned into Matthew's house, and many tax collectors and sinners followed him into that house, he was ready to sit down and eat with them. He was ready to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance, no matter where they came from. I don't know the sorts of difficulties you've had in your life. I know the ones I've had in my life, and maybe I know some of the ones in the lives of people who I'm really close with. And I have spoken to plenty of people in my life who feel like they've just done so many things wrong that they can't come back to God. I assure you, a passage like this is good news for you. Whoever these sinners are, and whatever these tax collectors have done wrong, and they did plenty of things wrong, many of them, Jesus is ready to sit down and eat with them at Matthew's house. And he's ready to call them back to him. I don't know what you've done or what in your mind makes you think that you can't come back to God, but I assure you it's not correct. We have a man in the Apostle Paul who killed people. And yet he was chosen by God to be an apostle, to bear witness to Jesus. Now, he didn't call him to keep living the same life he was already living. He called him to change. He called him to repentance. He was the physician that came and healed him and made the sick person well. And so I'm not telling you this morning that if you're in the middle of sin that's devastating and it's keeping you from relationship with God, that you can just continue in that and everything's going to be okay. That's not the message. The message is that Jesus, he came to call people to repentance. He came to heal the sickness, and you had that offer even this morning. That Jesus loves people in this way. He loves souls. He loves us so much that we have the offer of God's grace through him. He has accomplished the Father's will. He was faithful to the mission, and he came and he died for all of our sins. And if you so wish, you can come to him and you can be made whole, no matter what you've done. And what we see in Jesus in this story is true holiness, true piety, and righteousness. He demonstrates what true holiness really looks like. And one thing I want us to see from this story is that if we are disciples of Jesus, not only can we see ourselves on the side of the table with the sinner and the tax collector, but we can also see ourselves on the side of the table with Jesus trying to imitate him and follow his example, that he's the kind of person that welcomes sinners. He's the kind of person that calls them to repentance, and we need to do that sort of thing. We can't let just people live in sin and act like everything's okay. There's time when we have to call to repentance. But in the midst of all of that, if we're following the example of Jesus, what we're demonstrating is true holiness, true righteousness, and not the empty, vain sort of holiness that the Pharisees had, in which they thought they could go through some rituals, they could say the right things and do some of the right things and live by some of their own rules, and somehow that was going to make them okay with God. Jesus says this: go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's practically telling them, go look at Hosea 6 and see what that's about and figure out the message there that Hosea is giving them. And here's what it is. He's talking to corrupt leadership. People who may offer the sacrifices, they may go through the motions in the temple, but what they really are murderers and thieves. They steal and they take advantage of the people. And then they're up on the mountains sacrificing to idols and pagan gods. And although they perceive themselves maybe as being righteous and holy, what Hosea is telling them is God really wants your mercy. He really wants your obedience, as he tells Saul, a very similar sort of statement. It's not just about going through some rituals and going through some motions, or like the Pharisees, this perceived idea of what they think holiness is. That's not what's going to make God happy. But he says, I desire mercy. I want you to care not just about me and loving me, but loving my people. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Go and learn, he tells them, what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. That was Jesus' entire mission when he came to earth. This statement right here. And that's why I said it's the good news. It's the gospel in concise form. That what he wants for every single one of us is that we will desire to follow him and do his will. He has come to call all of us sinners, back to the Father. And it's not that God doesn't want sacrifice at all, or worship, we might say. But really, he wants the whole heart. I think about it in this way, because sometimes these ideas trip people up and you even see some really bad interpretation from verses like Matthew 9 and verse 13 or Hosea 6, those types of places where people will take these and twist the real meaning of what's going on here. But just think of you, those of you who are parents, think about maybe when you talk to your children and you say, what I really want from you is to obey me, not just say you love me. Well, does that mean we don't really want them to say they love us? No, I think we get the point. It's rhetoric. It's what's being emphasized. And what Hosea is doing, what Jesus is doing, and he's using Hosea, he's saying what really matters and where you're missing it, Pharisees, what Jesus is saying, is that you don't show compassion. You don't show mercy for your fellow man. You don't love the way I love, is what Jesus is telling them. I see value in people's souls. I see potential in their life. I see their ability to change, and I call them to repentance because they, like you want to be, they can become holy and they can become right with God. And this holiness, it reaches to every part of our life. It's not just about worship. That's not the limit of holiness. It's about how we live day to day. We have to strive for the kind of holiness that Jesus reveals here. One that not just keeps rules and laws which need to be kept, but one that shows a love for our fellow man. And a desire not to just hoard knowledge and holiness and a relationship with God for ourselves, but realizes that he died not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, as John says. That he died also for these lost ones. And let us point the way to heaven. James, in using some of the language of Jesus, I believe, said judgment without mercy. Judgment is without mercy to him who shows no mercy. And when I hear people talk about Jesus' love, we need to get the full picture. He certainly did love everyone. He loved the tax collectors, and he loved the sinners here. And to today, we might have a whole nother list. Maybe he loves the city drunk, or the prostitutes, or the drug addicts, or the drug dealers, or whoever we can come up with. That Jesus, he loves everyone. He loves his creation, and he wants all to come to the Father, but he also calls us all to repentance. And he wants us to turn to him and follow him. And it doesn't matter where somebody's come from, they have the potential to do that. This morning, it might be that you find yourself in a situation like some of these that we've mentioned. Maybe you do have a problem with alcohol or with drugs or immorality. Maybe you have problems that are smaller, at least in our minds and how we think about sin. It doesn't really matter what the problem is. The reality is you can turn to God this morning. What I want you to see from the story that we just read is that Jesus was willing to sit down with people that everyone knew were sinners. And that means he loves you too. He's not looking to keep you out. He wants to bring you in. He wants you to have God's grace in your life. And you can do that this morning. You can give your life to him. You can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and have your sins washed away. And you can be in harmony with God. And maybe there's some among us this morning who find ourselves inside of the table with the Pharisees. We've looked down on others, been judgmental when we shouldn't have been. Maybe to the extent that you even need to make something known publicly to make it right. And just like the tax collectors and the sinners that Jesus sat down with, he's ready to receive the Pharisee too. The one who's honest and open, who wants to follow him. Can we help you this morning? Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together?